Do you know about this group that was with me last summer? For all 16, 17 of them, counting Dougal from Kansas State? You know about this? Why don't you guys stand up? If you were with me last summer in Nakuru, Kenya. Yes. You know, I am here to recruit. But more than that, I am here to share God's Word with you. And I pray that God will give you ears to hear and a heart that is open and ready to obey Him. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn with me to the fourth chapter of John, begin with verse 34. I'm just going to read a couple of verses to you. John 4, 34 and 35. This is Jesus speaking. He said, "My food," Jesus said to them, "is to obey the will of the one who sent me and to finish the work that he gave me to do. You have a saying, 4 more months and then the harvest. But I tell you, take a good look at the fields. The crops are now ripe and ready to be harvested." Yeah, I want to speak to you about now is the time. It is. Now is the time. All across East Africa, students are hungry to hear the good news. When Jesus said in that verse 34, "My food is to obey the will of the one who sent me," this had come out of an encounter with the disciples when they had begged him to eat something. And he had mystified them when he told them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Now these guys were thinking, someone has brought him a sandwich. Then he tried to clarify it for them when he said, "My food is to obey the will of the one who sent me." John 6:38, Jesus said, "I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me." The incarnate Son of the living God, in every part of His being, wanted to do what the Heavenly Father wanted Him to do. He wanted above all else to do the will of the Father. You know, in the lives of Samuel and David and Matthew and the Apostle Paul and so many others in the Bible, there is the evidence of a strong sense of being known, of being taken over, possessed, called. Now, they were not men who were especially concerned about being great servants of God. They were not concerned with getting credit, with plans. They didn't have any plans for notoriety or success. Whatever their plans might have been, now obeying the will of God was their top priority. Obeying God's will. These men had heard the Master, and they gladly, fully, and forever put themselves at His disposal. And to whatever Almighty God said, their answer was yes, yes. You know, most of the prophets in the Bible were not specially trained or highly educated men who received a call from God on their last year in the seminary. Mostly, they were just ordinary people like you and me who were following God in their everyday lives. And yet, when they spoke, they were able to raise up or bring down kingdoms. their ministries had a tremendous impact. And to be prophetic today does not require us to have an audience with world leaders. It simply means obeying the will of God by carrying out Jesus' great commission to go and make disciples of all the nations. Now, we do this in response to the prompting of the Holy Spirit through the Scriptures. And there are at least three conditions that we need to meet. The first one is to know God and His character as taught in His Word. And then second, we must have a message that will change the lives of people. And then third, we need to have a place where we can proclaim that message. You know, since the Old Testament prophets did not have the Bible, they had to receive their message directly from God. But today, we can look to His written Word to know Him and His will for us. As we saturate ourselves in the Scripture and in prayer, our relationship with Jesus deepens. And through the Bible, He will begin to impress upon us just how and where He wants us to share His message. You know, as we spend time in the Scripture and in prayer, it's important not to get sidetracked trying to determine whether we have received an official call from God or whether we have a clear indication that we are doing His will. You know, it's easy to get caught up in the paralysis of analysis, and we get so involved that we fail to obey what He has already given us to do. God has given us a clear mandate to share Him and His Word with those who have not heard, and then make disciples. Now I ask you, what more do we need? Focus on obeying His will on a daily basis. And then He will lead us where He wants us to go and to the people that He wants you and me to reach. In 1970, God called Alice and me out of a pastorate in Georgia to begin Baptist student ministry in Kenya. And then He brought people into our lives who had a vision for making disciples. And they passed on that vision to us. Those folks invested in our lives. They taught us how to have a consistent walk with God. They patiently, graciously helped us with the basics. And then they taught us how to make disciples. You know what? There was no doubt in my mind that this was what God had planned for us. My life was never the same again. 1 Peter 4:2 says, "From now on, you must live the rest of your earthly lives controlled by God's will and not by human desire." This is God's will, that we go into all the world and make disciples. And I tell you, because of His great mercy, He is sending Alice and me back to East Africa. We count ourselves blessed to be able to participate with God in what He is doing among university students all across East Africa, and specifically in Edgerton University in Nakuru, Kenya. God has a will. And He wants you and me to obey His will. He wants the little tributary of our lives to fit into the great river of His desire and purpose. You know, when the will of man is in accord with the will of God. That is faith. But when the will of man is in opposition to the will of God, that is disobedience. That is unbelief. Real life comes only when we want what the Father wants and then obey Him. You remember Colossians 3 verses 2 to 4 tells us to keep your minds fixed on things in heaven, not on things here on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your real life is Christ. And when He appears, then you too will appear with Him and share His glory. Well, here first Jesus has said that His food was to obey the will of the one who sent Him. And then second, He also said that He had come to finish the work that the Heavenly Father had given Him to do. The Heavenly Father had work for His Son Jesus to do. Now listen, He has work for you to do. Work that has eternal consequences. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, in the Good News translation, it says, "What no man ever saw or heard, what no man ever thought could happen, is the very thing God has planned for those who love Him." Almighty God wants you and me to live radical lives of faith by obeying God's call and do the work that He has given us to do. You know, there are four terrible words that can quench God's Holy Spirit. You know what those words are? You can't do that. You can't do that. Listen, if people tell you that, don't believe it. We must resist this attitude if we're going to go where God wants us to and to do what He wants us to do. The Bible is filled with ordinary people who went to impossible places and did great things simply because they decided to obey God and to do His work. Even when others said, "You can't do that." Now these men were no more qualified for their task than we are. But they trusted God to open the doors and give them the power they needed to do the work. Joseph, go to Egypt as a slave boy and rise to the rank of second in the nation. You can't do that. Moses, part the waters of the Red Sea. You can't do that. David, the shepherd boy, defeat Goliath with nothing but a sling and a few pebbles. You can't do that. Jonah traveled to the decadent city of Nineveh with one sermon bring the whole population to repentance. You can't do that. Maybe not. But with God's help, they did it anyway. And so can we, wherever we are and wherever God leads us. As Oswald Chambers said, trust God and do the next thing. The door may seem closed, but God is waiting for you to walk forward in obedience so that He can open the door for you to serve Him. In Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13, the Apostle Paul said it well when he said, "Keep on working in fear and trembling to complete your salvation. For God is at work within you, helping you to know what His will is and making you willing and able to do it." Elizabeth Elliot tells about the time at the university when people were autographing her yearbook. She said she asked Jim Elliot to sign her yearbook, hoping maybe she would get some clue about his feelings for her. All he did was sign her yearbook and then added a scripture, 2 Timothy 2:4, which says, "A soldier on active service will not let himself be involved in civilian affairs. He must be wholly at his commanding officer's disposal." Now, she got it. She got it. The message was loud and clear. Her hopes about Jim Elliot expressing his feelings had to take a back seat to the guiding principle of that man's life. He was not at liberty to plan the future, for his life was in the hands of the living Lord Jesus. You remember what Jesus said to those men who said they wanted to follow Him. "If any man would come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me." At Your service, Lord, at Your service, Lord, what the soldier does for the officer is duty, not a favor. The officer may ask anything of the soldier. The answer is always, "Yes, sir." He does what he chooses with a soldier. Now, the modern mind is not ready for that. Our thoughts are, "Nobody is going to tell me what to do. And no one is going to make decisions for me." Have we forgotten that we are not our own? That we have been bought with a price? You know, when we think of being a Christian, oh, that's great. But we don't want to be a disciple. The cost is too high. And denying self, why, that's fanatical. And the idea of taking up a cross makes me uncomfortable. Follow You, Lord? Well, sure. Sure, I'll do that. If You'll allow me to have a little input about where we're going and what we're doing. Remember, Christ died so that I would no longer live for myself, but for Him who died for my sake and was raised to life. You know, I love the story about those Moravian Christians during the early 1900s. The Great Commission was a significant part of their lives. And two young Moravian Christian men heard about 5,000 slaves on an island in the Atlantic. This island was owned by a British slave owner. The slave owner had said no preacher would ever be allowed on that island. Even if one is shipwrecked, we'll keep him in a separate house and not allow him to speak to the slaves. 5,000 slaves who would live and die without hearing the good news about Jesus. The slave owners said, this business about Jesus is just a lot of nonsense. These two young Moravian Christians sold themselves into slavery and would live the rest of their lives on that island, because this is where God wanted them to invest their lives. They would be Christians in the midst of those slaves in order to tell them about Jesus. Now, this was no 4-year term. This was a lifetime. On the day that they were to sail for the island, many other Moravians came to see them off. The parents and friends of those young men came, and some of them questioned the wisdom of their going. And as the boat pulled away from the dock, many were weeping and agonizing and praying. And as those two young men stood together on the boat, one of them shouted to the people on the dock, "May the Lamb that was slain receive the reward for His suffering." This became the cry for Moravian Christians across the world. May the Lamb that was slain receive the reward for His suffering. Jesus had said, "My food is to obey the will of the one who sent me and to finish the work that He has given me to do." And then in verse 35, Jesus said, "You have a saying, 4 more months and then the harvest.' But I'm telling you, take a good look at the fields. The crops are ripe now and ready to be harvested." You see, He does want us to obey the will of God. He does want us to be about the work. And when? Now is the time. Jesus told His disciples, "Go into all the world and make disciples." And we need to remember that in Jesus' time, the world was quite hostile to the good news. So much so that they killed Him. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, they were closed just like countries are closed today. And yet Jesus told His disciples to go anyway. These disciples were pioneers. Their timing was perfect. Now is the time for laborers in the harvest. Now I know some places are not too safe, but the harvest is ready. Almighty God also is calling for laborers, for it's the same story. The laborers are few. Jesus said, "Open your eyes and look at the fields. They're ripe for the harvest." You know, this is a new day in missions. New fields, new strategies. The same old way won't get it done. And just like Jesus told His first disciples to open their eyes, that's true for you and me. Open your eyes. The time is now. Look at the fields. Look at China. Look at the remains of the Soviet Union. Look at Cuba. Look at Africa. And in particular, look at East Africa. I tell you what, students on campuses in Kenya and Uganda and Tanzania and Rwanda and the Congo are definitely ripe for the harvest. At Edgerton University in Nakuru, Kenya, where Alice and I have a ministry, students are so spiritually hungry there that they will stop Alice and me on the campus and ask us to come to their room to tell them about Jesus. But there's not enough of us. Recently, during the rains, the electricity on the whole campus would go off from time to time. And I tell you, when it goes off in the night, it is dark. Now, in the midst of sharing the gospel with students, and those lights would go out, you know what they'd do? They'd light a candle and put it on the table, so that we could continue to talk to them, so they could hear the good news. And they wanted to continue. They were hungry. Oh God, where are the laborers? You know, there are several young men and women new in the Lord on that campus, who are growing spiritually and learning how to help others come to know Christ. And they're learning how to make disciples, and they're willing to pay the price. We continue to ask God for additional laborers. We're not looking for warm bodies. No. We're looking for people who know how to make disciples and who are willing to pay the price, willing to invest their lives in a place 10,000 miles from here. In the fourth chapter of Esther, there is an account of the prophet Mordecai asking Esther, the new queen of Persia, to plead with King Xerxes to have mercy on her people. Now, this had put her in a difficult position. She was reluctant to honor his request in the midst of a difficult, fearful time. She might lose her life if she does this. In verse 14 of that chapter 4, Mordecai said to Esther, You know, maybe it was just for a time like this that you were made queen. Now I know the world is a bit frightening, but in the midst of the difficulty, there is spiritual hunger and openness to the good news found in Jesus of Nazareth. Who knows? Maybe, just maybe, God is dealing with you about places that need to be harvested. For now is the time. Places in India and South America, and don't forget Kenya. Maybe God has prepared you for just such a time as this. You know, the old man, I'm not sure I can say that anymore. I'm getting a little grayer headed myself. But I remember the old man who was the former head of the International Mission Board. Actually, back then it was the Foreign Mission Board. Dr. Baker James Coffin. He tells an experience when he and his wife and children moved out of Shanghai, China, just before the communists took over. They'd lost everything once before when the Japanese had come in and taken over the area during the Second World War. They lost all of their possessions that time. And when he got on the boat this time, he said he knew it was happening again. It's happening again. He said the feeling that he had was hard to describe. The excitement, the exhilarating feeling, the joy of just being cleaned out for Jesus again. All of his worldly possessions gone because of his commitment to Jesus. You know, Almighty God has tried to communicate to you and me through 1,400 pages of fine print that our objective in life is to commit ourselves completely to Him and to pay the price to be His disciples and to make disciples. Did you know that you can eat an elephant? I mean, they are big. But you can eat an elephant. Did you know that? You can eat an elephant a bite at a time. And we need to get started in bite-sized chunks in reconciling people to God through Jesus Christ. And I want God to put on your heart the praying and the possibility that He might want you to come and invest a couple of years, or maybe just a summer in East Africa on a campus where you can tell others about Jesus. As a matter of fact, they'll come to you. Militant, challenging, and obligating is the command of Jesus Christ to go into all the world and make disciples. The harvest is ready. Now is the time. Pray with me. Father in heaven, I praise You and honor You just for who You are. And I thank You for each one of these young people who is here tonight and for the plan and purpose that You have for them. Oh God, I pray that they will hear Your voice and deeply, obediently obey You. God, give them a deep hunger to get to know You well, to love You with all their heart. Thank You and praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Here, now let me give you two or three things to pray about for East Africa. Of course, for laborers. Yeah, Kenyans, Americans. Man, if you know how to make disciples, pray about the possibility of coming to Kenya or to one of those other East African countries as a journeyman. For a summer, or maybe even for career. And then secondly, I'd ask you to continue to pray, as so many of you have been praying, for my wife's eyes, for there to be healing there. We came home early because of her eye problem. And then thirdly, that God would continue to work in a marvelous way in the lives of young people on campuses all across East Africa. And then lastly, you pray that the Stickneys, Alan and Alice, would pay the price to truly get to know God even better, to walk with Him in obedience and under His authority. And to be able to say, yes, Lord, what's the question? Hey, thank you. I know someone is going to come now and lead you in prayer, whoever that is. Come on. God bless you.